The Council of New York Cooperatives and Condominiums is proud to present this podcast on revising your proprietary lease, given by Mark Luxenberg, a partner of Gallett, Dreyer & Berkey, as well as a board member and past president of the council. In the podcast, Mr. Luxenberg will address the key issues a board member should consider when revising their proprietary leases. For more in-depth analysis and review, Mr. Luxenberg presents a semi-annual class for the council. Visit our website to register or for more information.
So we're going to start talking about why buildings should consider upgrading their proprietary lease to a 21st century version. And I'll take 1 minute to talk about the history of proprietary leases. The earliest proprietary leases were for co-ops that were formed in the 1920s, and they had a very rudimentary form of proprietary lease. And about 25 years later, shortly after World War II, a second form was developed, which was used in the first wave of co-oping in Central Park West and Park Avenue and Fifth Avenue and places like that. And then another 25 years went by and a third version was developed in the 1970s that was popular for the third wave of conversions. It lasted through the 80s. But by the end of the 90s, that version had become shop-worn. And so on behalf of the Council of Cooperatives, I created a 1990s version designed for the 21st century. And although it's over 20 years since that happened, this version has not become obsolete because I keep upgrading it. And every year or two, as new court decisions and new things happen, I revise the lease to take account of that. So this one has stayed more current than the prior versions. Some of the important changes came about because of changing social ideas, changing generation, new ways of doing things, and of course court decisions that affected how boards could operate. Among the more important changes, the definition of family and who's entitled to occupy the apartment. The primary concept of a cooperative is to provide residences for the shareholders. And that, by the way, that concept is expressly incorporated into the proprietary lease. It's to provide residences for shareholders. That's what a co-op is all about. And I think people lose track of that as time goes on. Particularly our court system doesn't focus on that, but it should. So that's incorporated into the lease. And in that regard, the question then is, who is entitled to occupy the apartment? Traditionally, the old proprietary leases said it would for the shareholder and the shareholder's family. You know, the concept of a family has changed somewhat substantially over the last 25 or 50 years. And a family today doesn't look like what a family did 50 years ago. So we had to upgrade that. And the concept is basically to allow, first of all, unmarried partners to occupy the apartment as a family and to allow roommates and to define, you know, what level of immediate family is allowed to stay in the apartment, grandparents, you know, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, children, and particularly with respect to guests, as to, you know, in this day and age with Airbnb and the concept of paid guests, defining who is entitled to stay in the apartment with or without the shareholders become much more important than it used to. So the new proprietary lease purports to deal with that, and hopefully in a meaningful way. That's an area that continues to evolve. Another important area is defaults, because we have all kinds of new issues that crop up in terms of smoking and cooking and noise and electronic interference and pets. And so the question is, you know, if somebody's not behaving themselves, how do you deal with that? And so we have upgraded the default section to further define what is objectionable conduct. And particularly, one of the things that we added was, you know, what happens if somebody commits a crime in the building? The old proprietary leases never conceived that somebody might do that, but it happens. So we have put in that committing a crime is an act of objectionable conduct that can get you evicted without repetition, because most of the time, you know, if it's just noise and things like that, you need to repeat the noise after warning or repeat the objectionable conduct after warning in order to be evicted. But if you commit a felony, one felony is all you get. You can get evicted. So that's another important change. Then there are many changes of lesser significance, but also important. For example, we've changed the definition of house rules. The old proprietary leases would say you could pass house rules. Well, why? For what? What purpose? What were the house rules supposed to do? And who would be governed by the house rules? So we have much more clearly defined what the purpose of the house rules is and who is subject to the house rules, who has to obey them, which is basically everybody that comes into the building with the consent of the shareholder. And also, the new lease specifically enables the board of directors to enact fines, or as we euphemistically call them, user charges, for conduct that the board wants to put a stop to but is not serious enough to warrant eviction from the premises. So the fines are a more flexible way of dealing with conduct that needs to be regulated without trying to evict somebody. And then there are other points, such as most proprietary leases don't authorize the board to make capital improvements to the building, which is kind of a serious omission. And a lot of proprietary leases don't authorize the board to charge late fees, although almost every board does. Now, that's been regulated by the recent Tenant Protection Act, but still, the right to charge late fees is an important right, and most proprietary leases don't have it. And I think the final thing that I would point to is that the new form of lease enables the board to arbitrate disputes with the shareholders. And for those boards that feel that that's better than having everything litigated, the new lease authorizes the board to arbitrate disputes concerning the meaning or interpretation of the proprietary lease. So I think that hits the highlights. Of course, I should add that every 6 months or a year, the council has a seminar that goes over all of the changes in detail. It's a 2-hour seminar, and hopefully one will be coming up soon.